Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Yeah, this is the second hour of our show. You'll want to make sure that you catch our first hour on demand. Go over to the YouTube channel, sportsgrid.com. Great to be with you guys here. Memorial Day weekend is coming up, and Joe and I will be back here for our weekend edition of the show. Make sure you tune in Saturday morning, Sunday night. Joe, Diamond Bets is on Sunday as well. What's on the docket for Diamond Bets this weekend?
Sunday, it's time to reboot the previews. It's Previews 2.0. We're going to get into some team over-unders here. We're going to be previewing all of the American League East teams and how a shortened season could potentially change how you might be wagering on some of them, plus also the latest on the Aaron Judge injury, which from a lot of buzz around the New York area, the words, he's going to try to give it a go, keep coming about. And in my universe, those are some scary words. So we got a lot of that going on, plus some season totals cut in half, how we feel about some of the wagering, and really how hot streaks are really going to make a significant difference potentially in a shortened season, both with individual players and with teams. So check that out on Sunday in the morning or in the early afternoon, depending on where you're living, over on Diamond Bets. So it's good times with Matt Stryker and myself.
And my prediction is for your show this weekend, this will be the last show that you talk about baseball without actually knowing if they're, when they're, what is going to be.
Oh, man, I hate your prediction, because that was, like, this will be your last show.
This is it. No, no, no. This is going to be the last show that you're going to have to do, that you're going to have to fake your way through it. After this week, you're going to know.
Fake, let me tell you, we have not been fake. Matt Stryker and I have had some fantastic.
I've been faking my way through it since the last 3 months here.
Well, that's well, you've had to be doing it every day. We're doing it once a week. And we have done the nostalgia, but we've also done a lot of current talk at the same time. We've had a lot of fun. We've done a lot of bits. We even did a baseball card bit, and we're going to bring that game back called Flipping Cards, where I ask Matt some provocative, fun questions about two baseball cards and the pictures. And God knows there's been some awful pictures on baseball cards. So if you missed that, you can go look on demand on that. Plus, also this week, spoiler, my head is going to be on a very famous cartoon character. So it's going to be
What was the worst-looking card? What was the most awkward?
Well, the most,
I think I know what it is all time.
Well, the most fun one we did, I can't remember what year in the 60s it was. It was a Don Mossy card.
Okay.
And no, Don Mossy was the guy with the big giant ears. If you Google Don Mossy card, you'll see. The guy looks like he's 112 years old. Okay. And then there was an 86 Fleer Tom Pachorek. And we put them side by side. And Tom Pachorek had a full head of giant gray hair. He looked like the assistant vice principal at your school for the last 35 years in high school. And the question was, who's older in this picture? And it was quite a barn burner. We also did who has the best dating profile pick. There was one of Ricky Lede and 85 Tops Gary Pettis, where he's doing this, where he looked like the sixth member of Color Me Bad.
I don't know.
Yeah, and he's not leading anything. He's just doing this, which is weird. I remember.
Yeah, Gary Pettis was has been a coach with the Astros.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So it was fun stuff like that.
You ever seen Jim Pankowitz's card?
Oh, sure. Yeah. There are so many classics. We had one. It was the Glenn Hubbard with the snake against Bip Roberts with the sombrero. Who had the Wilder night out? Lots of fun things like that. So if you like silliness, if you like baseball, Diamond Bets is the show for you. So go out there and check it.
Like I said, they're faking it, but still, it'll be on the air this weekend. All right, NFL 2020 futures. We're going to take a look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and when their first win of 2020 will occur. Before we do that, let me be very clear. These are the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So if you sign up for FanDuel and you log in and just create a username and a password, sign yourself up. If you feel like making bets this time of the year, they have these bets available. I misspoke yesterday by saying it was only the Giants and Jets. They have about a half dozen teams where you can actually bet when they will win their first game. So we're going to do the Buccaneers and the Broncos on today's show. Let's start off with Tampa Bay. So here it is, the first win for the Bucs, and here are the odds. If you select and you bet $100 on the Bucs to go to New Orleans in game one and win, you bring back $155. That's a very good bet if you win, if you believe that's going to happen. They'll be a huge underdog in that game regardless. They're plus 155. FanDuel is telling you the most likely scenario of all of the scenarios is that, essentially, the Bucs lose at New Orleans, and then they come back home and they beat the Panthers in game two. Is it just as simple as that? We shall see. Game three, they play the Broncos plus 850, so it's about 8.5 to 1. Then things get wacky. If the Bucs don't win the first three games, you can make some serious money if Tampa Bay starts 0-3. You bet them to beat the Chargers, you get 13-1 on your money. They start 0-4, they beat the Bears, you get 46-1. This is only game five. And then game six, you get 75-1 on your money. What FanDuel is telling you is Tampa Bay is going to be pretty good, and the odds are they're going to win either their first or their second game of the season. If they don't, you would hit it really big if the Bucs, Joe, struggled right out of the gate. FanDuel does not anticipate clearly that happening.
Well, and rightfully so. I think there's going to be a lot of energy on the team. I don't think there's going to be enough energy for them to win opening week in New Orleans. I think that's a tall order. I really do. I wouldn't put anything past Brady, but at the same time, I think that's a tall order to go into that building first out of the gate and win. After that, it would be surprising if they didn't win the Panthers, but you're right. That's where things kind of get wacky here. If not for the Panthers, I mean, what would be a scenario where they wouldn't, like, where does the bleeding stop? If they lost in New Orleans and then they lost at home in the home opener to Panthers, which is highly unlikely.
You never know.
Going to Denver is no piece of cake. We all know this.
Going to Denver at the beginning of the season is you bet your life with Denver the first few games at home. The teams are not caught up to playing at altitude. No. Then the Broncos go in the tank, and you could just go against them all day long. But the first couple of games, no matter how bad Denver is, I don't go against Denver the first couple of weeks. After that, cool, no problem. So I feel like this is
a repeat of yesterday's show where I keep circling the Chargers because I just don't think the Chargers are a very good football team. They have some players. That would, again, be the one that I would circle. Okay, 13-1 is where they're definitely going to beat the Bears. But for them to lose to the Chargers, Broncos, Panthers, and Saints in a row and go 0-4, that's not happening. What kind of chance do you give them against the Saints? Because I really don't give
that. That to me is the most value of all of the ones here. That would be the one that
upset week one.
Well, look, I don't mind laying 110 to win 100. That's not bad at all. And if you think about it, it's an interesting bet because if you did bet them to beat the Panthers, you're essentially getting a free roll on Tampa Bay with no spread against Carolina. It's if indeed they lose at, you would need them to lose at the Saints. Okay, that has to happen.
Which I think very likely.
Right, but when in sports could you get a team, and let's, if we assume, and we can't assume, but if we assume that the Bucs season is going to play out to at least 500 or a little bit better, and the Panthers are going to be sub 500 and probably much worse, we think, but we don't know for sure. The Bucs probably game two against Carolina at the minimum are 7-point favorites, at the minimum 7. And here you get them on the money line minus 110. So it's either one or two for me. I am out on the rest of them. I would either bet the first or the second.
I think you bet two. I think one is highly unlikely. I just do. I think two is very likely because I think at the end of the day, what's going to happen is the Panthers are a very young defensive unit. They spent all 7 of their draft picks on defense, and they've really turned that defense over, and they brought in some really good young players onto that defense. But the problem is there's a lot of youth there. And I think what will happen in that game, even if it's close at the half, I think you'll start to see Tom Brady make the adjustments and start to kind of expose the youth of that defense. And I think that's going to be the problem there. Also, Bruce Arians, you know, also going against a first-year head coach too. I think that will, even if the Panthers are very competitive and it's maybe they're even winning at the half, who knows? Crazy things can happen. I just don't see them leaving on that first home game in Tampa with Tom Brady with an L. I don't see that happening. So that second game for me is the one as well. And if it goes,
it's
if they start
0-2,
though, what a crazy narrative to start the year that would be if they start 0-2 and then go to Denver and lose and go 0-3. Ooh, national media would.
I would tell you that it's more. I believe it's more likely they go 0-3 than 3-0. I'm not a huge believer.
Oh, 100%. Here we go. We're actually in agreement again. I'm with you. I think it's far more likely. Mercenary teams do not work out all the time. bringing all these stars and different pieces from other organizations that have worked, things don't always gel together. I know Brady's trying to work out with the guys. I know Cameron Brait was just out yesterday talking about it. And I get that. I know that's Tom Brady's MO, and I am the biggest Tom Brady mark in the universe. Got the Funko Pops. I got everything. But I just find it hard to believe that he's going to go in there and just find immediate success. I hope he does. I'm rooting for him, but I don't think it's a good wager.
All right, now let's look at the other team that we're going to talk about today on their first win of 2020. And for this portion, we're going to talk about the Denver Broncos in 2020. And here are their odds to win their first game. Week one against the Titans. You look at it and go, whoa, why, how? Titans, they're good, but why are they minus 1.4? And that speaks to what Joe and I were just talking about. The Broncos at home at the beginning of the year are unstoppable. It is amazing if you look at their track record at home against the spread and even straight up. So assuming they win that one, they go to Pittsburgh, they're plus 430. They play Tampa Bay, they're plus 480. I know Joe has that week four circled at plus 750. At New England, 20-1. Versus the Dolphins, 17-1. Let me tell you something. Denver's in big trouble, man. this schedule does not look good.
You know what? I think it looks real good.
They better be much better than what everybody – they better be as good as everyone thinks that they're going to be, or else they're going to be 1-5 or 0-6.
I think it looks real good week four. You know, people don't want to hear it. I'm
and
sorry,
what if
Jeff
they
fans.
Lose that one?
Well, if they lose, they lose. But what if
they
win?
They 0-6, man.
We put 100 on that plus 750. That ain't bad. So that's not a bad day's work. I look at what the Broncos have potentially. They have not one but two running backs, and they have a fair amount of targets, and they do not match up well the Jets against that. They are too many weapons on that Broncos team. The Jets don't have enough people to guard.
So you're basically saying. The team that stinks, that's 0-3 out of the gate, is going to go beat the Jets at the Jets. And then you probably think they're going to lose week five and probably week six too. Maybe week six, right? There's a chance.
There's a chance they could win week five, and there's a very good chance they win week six. I think they're a 2-4 team to start the year. They could even be 3-3 if they steal one from either New England or maybe they steal that first one. Maybe Tennessee comes out a little flat, you know. And that's the funny thing. You know, this year's Cinderella could always be next year's pumpkin. We've seen it happen time and time again where a team starts, everything went right, every bounce of the ball went their way, and the next year they come out and they're flat and they're not the same team that they were the year before, and they struggle out of the gate. So the thing that made them hungry is the thing that's not there anymore for them, which is the underdog, because now everybody's expecting them to be good, and expectations sometimes fall differently on different teams. I will say this, I think the Jets week four is a really good wager. I think that's look at that roster on the Jets. I mean, like I said, been working on the Black Book for a month now. We've been peeling into these rosters and these depth charts. It's a very weak Jets roster across the board. God forbid they have an injury or two. Forget it. We all know injuries are going to happen.
I would take the first game. I think they'll be Tennessee. Hate to go chalk, but Denver at home week one. It's almost a certainty to me. All right, we'll take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports today. We got plenty more to come here on the show, including our friend Gray Albright from Razzball. He's coming up in just a little bit. And as Joe and I mentioned earlier in the show, you may want to check in on your old basketball and baseball cards. You may have a gem that you don't know about as cards have made their way back during this time in quarantine. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports today in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. Coming up, Gray Albright will join us here on Fantasy Sports Today. And then Joe and I will be back for one final segment where we basically become garage hunters and tell you to go dig into your closets to see if you have these trading cards. We may do this every week until the pandemic is over, which who knows when it's going to be over. So we may do a lot of this because, unfortunately, Joe, I think we have run the gamut. Loves the segment. We've been doing it for now almost 2 months. But if you combine that 2 months, that is about 50, 60 days of going through stadiums and players, which we have done. And in each of the days, we did two. So we went through about 100. We were sort of running out of places to do. I fully expected by now us to have some live good sports to talk about. So it didn't happen, unfortunately.
I'm surprised you expected it by now. I would have thought that.
I did.
Really?
Well, optimistic. Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, maybe we
all...
You
know what my prediction was? My prediction didn't come... Well, I can't say that it didn't come true yet because we still have time. But my prediction was when this first happened. Now, when it first happened, I didn't know what to expect. So I take that back. So I would say probably like around April 1st, maybe 2 weeks in, my prediction was that some miracle vaccine was going to be out. It was just like going to save us because we always get bailed out in this country of different situations.
You mean by science? Yeah, usually we do. Right.
I felt like oh, the asteroid's coming. Oh no, Ben Affleck moved it. You know, like I you know what I'm saying? Like something, you know, the hurricane's going to destroy Florida. Well, not.
Were
so
you
much
listening to like an Aerosmith power ballad while this was happening? Or
yeah, you know, I don't know. It was Janie's got a gun. But okay, so. So I thought that by now something was going to happen and like, wow, we got this crazy vaccine and it's good and everyone can take it and now we can all go out and do things again. And no, yeah. We're not there. And
I guess you didn't know how vaccines work. That's good. Now you
know.
No,
I did know how it worked, but maybe it wasn't necessarily that or it was something else that was just going to pop up out of nowhere and just save our ass. Didn't do it. Didn't happen.
Well, you know, I don't want to turn this into a political show, so we won't do that. But I'll say this. I think I know since you were doing predictions, I'll know what my prediction was. Originally, I was hoping and I thought that it was very realistic to get baseball back somewhere around July 4th, because in my mind, I thought, well, if you looked at what went on in China and South Korea and some other places, it seemed like 2 months of, you know, 60-plus-day quarantine. Even Italy had this as well. And then eventually things were starting to open back up again. I think we're in the starting to open back up again phase. But then, like baseball and a lot of other sports, would start to ramp up. I actually did not think that the NBA would come back. I did not think the NHL would come back. So actually, that would be a great surprise to me personally. If baseball is the one that doesn't come back, and then the NBA ends up finishing a season, I just did not think that was going to be likely. Just because, again, the kind of games the NBA plays, and you know, it's indoor as opposed to outdoor, which is another thing too to always consider, a closed environment as opposed to an open air environment. So the difficult thing with baseball as opposed to football too is, you know, people start to panic about football season. Football's once a week. There's so much time, as you put so astutely on yesterday's show, to prepare for this and to have things in place for the NFL. And I am sure the NFL has plans, contingency plans, and then plan C, D, E, F, and G as well, wouldn't you think by now?
I don't know that they have it by now, but they have so much time. They'll get it figured out.
They don't have as much time as you think. It's only 3 months away. June, July, August.
July, August.
I mean, August is preseason. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest.
It's about 90 days. So they don't have to have a preseason this year. I don't think it's necessary. No one really thinks it's necessary.
Oh, there's no fans. I never think of preseason.
If there's no fans in the NFL, then there's definitely not going to be preseason. There's no need.
Right.
I mean, all that is a money grab for the NFL. And what else is it?
Well, I mean, the coaches always swear by preseason that, well, this is our opportunity to get a look at players. And, you know, we got to be able to look at the guys.
The only thing that happens in the preseason is guys get hurt and miss the year. That's the preseason.
Tell me about it, man.
Whatever has happened in the preseason.
By the way, We can go back for the last 5 years. I mean, there's been quite a run of that, too. I mean, we talked about Edelman earlier in this show. There was one guy. I mean, we've had a lot of guys out for the year of preseason the last couple of years. It seems like everybody holds their breath. Yeah. Yeah. Andrew Luck just straight up retired. Yeah. Dice is another one. I think, is it Benjamin got
hurt? But like you said, Joe, you got to start preparing now for that. You got to prepare for that.
Yeah. Really, well, I think the NFL is going to have those things to play. I really do. And the fact baseball is such a bear, and this is the burden of baseball is the schedule. 162 games, or, you know, basically playing 6 to 7 days a week, potentially. This is the difference. This is what's, you know, the most challenging with baseball is the fact that it's an everyday sport. And you have to have things in place every day. Even the NBA is a couple days in between some games. You can spread things out. It's definitely not baseball. You know, it's like you play.
No, it's not going to be easy. Hopefully. Look, I was wrong on another prediction there. I thought by now we would know something. They're just look, they're running out of time now. I mean,
what's their deadline? Because they had an actual date, did they not?
No. Major League Baseball?
I thought they had a soft date and they wanted to figure this out. I thought it was June 8th. I thought I had heard that, but June perhaps.
Who knows? I don't know.
Well,
next week, it's got to be. They got to figure it out by next week. They can't figure it out June 8th. They got to report to spring training.
So I guess let's open this up. So let's say doomsday. NBA decides it's not worth it. NHL decides it's not worth it. Awesome. Everyone's putting their baskets, their fruit in the basket of the NFL, right? Everyone's just waiting for that, and hopefully that'll happen. Major League Baseball cancels everything. Yeah. Do we then just turn over to complete NFL focus then for the next 2 months?
On this show?
On every show. On everything. On every sports fan's mind. Because I hate to break it to a lot of people. There is a large contingent of even people who play fantasy baseball that once July hits, a lot of them start to lose interest and start pivoting because football's happening.
I can't speak to what everyone else will do. I will not do that, so I don't know. But
It looks like you're gonna have a lot of wax packs and a lot of gum to eat.
Look, I've done more NFL content in the last 2 months than I've ever done on any show I've done in 20 years because there's nothing else. Mm-hmm. But just because there's nothing else doesn't mean that I'm going all in on something that I don't think that people have a lot of interest in. I'm doing it because essentially we are left with nothing. I mean, we are every single sports show in the country for the last 5 weeks has done hours and hours and hours of content on a television show about a season or seasons that hasn't happened in 25 years. I mean, you could say whatever you want about The Last Dance and about the show, and we can have these arguments, but there's no way that kind of coverage is happening if there are live sports going on right now. There is no possible way that the morning wake-up shows, hot take shows, are spending their entire 2 and 3 hour shows talking about the show the night before. No chance. None. Zero. There's games. There's NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. That becomes a sideshow to what is going on right now. And because we don't have that, it is diving into things that I wouldn't normally do. Now, I would rather do that than spend an hour on the KBO, no offense to the KBO, because I just don't think that there's a strong enough base for that. But that's where, if indeed that ended up happening and all of those things were canceled and starting with baseball, then that is a deep soul search for me at that point. I am going to clearly have to figure out what it is that people are craving and they want to see. I personally will completely disagree. I don't care what happens. I don't think anybody is interested in drafting or paying attention to fantasy football until football season begins.
All right. Well, here's another question too. Do you believe that there's any way that the NCAA can justify trying to put out a college football season under the guidelines?
Very hard.
Crush me more than the NFL. It will crush a lot of people more than the NFL. There's a lot of people out there like you who love college football more than professional football. And it's very difficult to put a bunch of student athletes out there in danger, potentially. That's the biggest one I struggle with, is the college athlete, because the professional is one thing. The college athlete's another, especially school to school too. I mean, it's just so many environments cross-contaminating potentially. And, you know, this is definitely one of the more difficult things, I think. I know Bressing, Ohio State said yesterday that they expect 20,000 to 40,000 fans possibly. And that was for
that would all be great. I guess where I would take exception to what you said before, going back to your initial point, was, in theory, you are correct in the timeline of saying that football is only 90 days away. But in a pandemic and what we're experiencing, every day anything can happen and anything can change. In a week from now, things could be totally great. In a week from now, we could have everything canceled for the next 6 months. So while it is, in theory, yes, it's coming up soon, because of what's happening in the world, it's not really soon. There, like, so many things can change and so many things can happen. I do strongly believe that the NFL is going to play, but there are scenarios that they don't. You never know. I'm not ruling anything out next week, a month, 2 months.
Once a week makes it a lot more palatable. It makes it a lot easier to prepare. It makes it a lot easier to move games. It makes it a lot.
I understand, but Joe,
that's the difference.
If Tom Hanks on March 17th announced he had the coronavirus, do you really think that the NFL would have just continued their season had that happened in March? So what I'm saying is, it wouldn't have resumed by now.
They wouldn't have resumed in 60 days, no, but they would have resumed because that is the NFL. There might not be a business in this country outside of Amazon that has the power in this country, you know, pharmaceutical things aside, than the NFL. The NFL is a juggernaut in this. It's the equivalent of, you know, the high-end soccer in England. It's those big things. And I know some of those got shut down too, but they will resume. I know. They all stopped.
But
again,
not resumed.
I don't think we're going to be in a place where life will never resume again. Like, that's also silly. That's also not seeing.
No, I know. I just don't think that I don't personally think that you could say, oh, 90 days is really soon, because it's in what we're going through right now. We don't know what next week is going to look like.
No, but
I tell you what next month is going to look like. I think they have a lot of time, because the reason why I say that is because a lot of time, because it feels like the last 2 months have felt like 10 years. So what will the next 3 months be like? I have no idea.
I think the next 3 months, I could tell you already from the fantasy sports world and what's going on out there. People have they pivot usually in July. They're pivoting already to a lot of best ball drafts in the NFL. They're looking at a lot of leagues. They're having discussions already about running backs, running back by committees. They're having discussions about players in new spots. There's a lot of NFL talk going on, and in the fantasy community, I think NFL has already basically started even earlier than it usually does, which is usually mid-June, end of July, when people really start talking about it.
There's also millions of people who watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It doesn't mean that I have to. We will take a quick timeout on fantasy sports today. Gray Albright from Razzball is going to join us next, and then we're going to dive into some interesting cards from your collection. You may have these, and they're worth a lot more than you think. We'll be right back on Fantasy Sports Today after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Always fun to check in with our good buddy from Razzball, razzball.com, where the projections are constantly changing to adjust to a constant idea of a possible and impossible baseball season. Every week, I feel like we're headed toward a new story, so we bring in Gray Albright from Razzball to touch on that and just exactly what's been going on with Gray this week. Gray, thanks for coming on again. What's going on?
Oh, hey, what's going on there, Gregory? How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's great to see you. Great to talk to you. Anything new in your life this week you want to get out there before we get to some sports?
Well, I did a quarantine haircut. It didn't work out so well for me. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I look like Jimmy Hoffa. You were so nice.
You look like Nicholson and Hoffa. You do. That really close cut. I don't understand, though, but your wife, where's your wife in all this?
Oh, my God. I think, the problem is, I think my wife is cross-eyed because she's the one who did this. I was like, hold on a second. You got to go with a 3 on the buzzer first, and then you work down to 0. And she's like, yeah, no problem. It's like my number one attribute is my hair. It's really upsetting.
Woo! You know.
Yeah.
Well, are you still not leaving? You can go get a haircut if you want.
Nah, I can't. Can't go out yet.
What do you mean?
I can't go out. Not in L.A. I don't think anything's open yet in L.A. To be totally
that right. Oh, in Florida. Here in Florida, we're licking the pavement here.
I didn't want to drive to Florida to get a haircut, but that's a good idea. No, I'm glad you
could have done it. You could have done it. The Tampa Bay Rays are giving out haircuts at their place.
The Tampa Bay Razors. Anything to make money. Hey, who wants a haircut from Hyman Choi? Come here.
I like He-Man Choi, by the way.
He-Man, Hyman.
I think you're thinking of Hyman Roth, maybe, perhaps. In The Godfather.
I just assume that's who I'm thinking of.
Too many Godfather movies for you this week. What did you do this week? Anything fun? Any good TV?
TV, yeah. No, I was watching The Great on Hulu. It's about Catherine the Great. It's good. It's with Elle Fanning, Dakota Fanning's sister. It has interesting period piece. I enjoyed it.
Okay, good. I watched I forget the name of it, Missy, something, The Wrong Missy, Netflix movie where David Spade texts, it's an Adam Sandler film, essentially, where David Spade texts, he meets a girl named Missy, and then he went on another date with a girl named Missy, texts the wrong one, and they end up going on vacation together, and then, as you would guess, shenanigans ensue from there.
Shenanigans always. I didn't like the Adam Sandler movie Uncut Gems. I don't know. Did you see that?
I was so looking forward to seeing it, but I heard it was really hard to watch. I never saw it.
It was really lame. I don't know. I feel like I might have been the only person who didn't like it, but now...
No, I heard that from a lot of people, unfortunately.
There you go, then. Also, I watched The Lighthouse this weekend, which I didn't like at all either. I usually am not this tough of a critic, but I didn't like it. It was the William Dafoe... Robert Pattinson movie where they're in a house.
I didn't see it, but I'm aware of it.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan. He talks, it's like the entire movie, it's like Talk Like a Pirate Day. Like, what's going on?
I love that kind of movie. Arr.
Arr. Not my favorite movie.
So you and I are involved in this in the Pitcher List convention next weekend. We're both presenters. I'm a little more worried about you than me. What are you presenting? Are you presenting?
I'm presenting myself. Now I have a whole seminar for quarantine haircuts.
Your wife's in the back going woo woo woo.
You watch someone do your hair. You watch someone cut your hair for your whole life, and you're like, how hard could it be?
And then you realize.
And then you're like, whoa! So that's why they go to cosmetology school. I'm not presenting. I'm going to be on a panel where talk about player profiles or something. I don't
know. Very good at fantasy. I don't think people realize that. I mean, you come off like, you know, you're fun and clownish, but you're really good. Like, you're really a good player. You really are. So I'll tune into that. I feel like when I'm not intimidated by you. We've been playing against each other now for a few years, but I know, like, by your mannerisms in the auction, when a player goes off or not, like, I'll put a little star by that. Oh, like, Gray liked that guy. Like, I you know your values well. I think you know what you're doing.
I mean, I try. It's the only thing I really care about.
That's obvious. Look at your head. Okay, so yeah, I'm doing a like a inside baseball, what it's like to be covering the game and sort of having some inside info on players and stuff like
that. Are you doing like a AV presentation, or is it just like you're winging it?
I'm assuming I just show up and don't get a haircut. That's it. I'm assuming. Do you see how high, like, people thought I had no hair? Like, first of all, I am losing my hair, but people thought that I had like no hair at all. Like, look at this big thing I got going.
No, your hair looks good. It's a little puffy. It's all right. You could use a little bit of a haircut. I'll step my wife.
Look at this. A lot coming in here. So, as we head toward Memorial Day weekend, I feel like I've changed my opinion so many times on this. It's worthless.
Oh man.
But I'd love yours. I don't know, man. My opinion seems to change a lot with whether or not we're going to get the season in, man. 2 weeks ago, I was so certain that this was happening with them talking, and as we head toward the weekend, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. I'm feeling like 50-50 again. I was on the 60-40 side.
Yeah. Well, I was like that last week. I was going through that. I'm still in that, too. I'm still in that, like, down mode where I'm not sure a season's going to happen anymore, whereas, you know, earlier in, like, April, not that long ago, even though it feels like about 3 years ago.
Right.
In April, I really thought there would be a season, and it would start on July 4th, as we discussed. Yes. But now that it's taken so long for them to get on, like, you know, any sort of page with this proposal, it's like, guys, are we really trying to get a season, or is this all negotiation? Like, it's so hard to say now. Like, we have some leverage. Let's try and, you know, see what the players will give us for, you know, if they say, you know, we don't want to have a season. Well, what are you going to do? Like, you know, negotiation tactic, basically. Sure. Now, I'm like, I don't know if it's a negotiation tactic or if they're just not coming back to the table. I don't know. There's not like with most seasons, when you have a strike, I'm sure you remember 94, you have like a negotiation, it's like, you know, it's a back and forth, and you realize that someone, they're going to come to the table at some point. But with this, it's like, does coming to the table mean, you know, risking your life? If so, maybe, you know, like I've been saying now, is like, maybe some players just don't come back. Like, until
I think that's realistic. I think that what's happened is baseball is essentially having to go through the CDC to get everything approved. And it's as simple as you and I talking, and we're coming up with some ideas, and it all sounds good, and they're going to play. And then all of a sudden, I think it hit them with the shock of what will actually be required to play. And I know that a lot of the money has been discussed too, and that is a part of it. But I don't even think that they've gotten there yet, Gray. Like, I think it's... Yeah. Like that memo that came out, and I know that the players' union is upset about that it was leaked or whatever. But with all of the things that are required to try and make this happen, I know the owners are going to say they want to play, but Gray, like, in the end, some of these owners are not going to get hurt if they don't play. You know, like,
yeah,
it's like, hey, we don't have to pay the players. Like, okay. Sounds good. See you next year.
And also, I don't know if someone's talked about it, or maybe they haven't, I just haven't seen it, but aren't also most of these teams, they have insurance. So if they don't play, can't they just get back a lot of money in insurance, where it's like, so we lose a little bit.
You know, from what I understand, from what I've, in the questions that I've asked, and I wasn't given, like, the specifics of teams, but, like, I'll give you a team. Like, the Rockies are going to get hurt very bad. The Rockies are not good, and they fill that place up every day. and it doesn't matter. They're getting 50,000, 60,000. They're having no fans there whatsoever. If they played a season where they had to pay the players and have no fans, they'd get crushed. They'd get crushed. They're paying out, you know, an $80, $100 million payroll and not making anything back or whatever they make off their TV contract, if there is a TV contract. Yeah. The Marlins wouldn't get hurt. The Rays probably wouldn't get hurt all that much. The Pirates, okay, you know, we're fine. The Red Sox, they'll get hurt, you know? Like, it's those teams that if there was a season without fans, it would be really hard to absorb. Or at least they say, from an ownership perspective, it would be hard to absorb.
Also, I think, like, you know, like you said, the teams that would get hurt, you mentioned a few of them. Like, you think about it, like, the Red Sox would get hurt, but the Red Sox can handle it, where if the Rockies get hurt, can the Rockies
That's true.
It?
Yeah. I maintain now, I've been saying this on the shows, I maintain Arenado never plays one game in Colorado. That's it. As soon as I think he's traded. The second they can. They cannot pay this guy anymore. That's it. No fans, no revenue, no money. Whatever they were going to get for him before, it is not going to be what it is now, and I think he's gone the second that they can move him. I don't think they can afford it.
And he's so irrelevant, too, for whether or not people are going to be watching the Rockies. I mean, yeah, they
it
like
is. Absolutely they like true. Them, but, absolutely true.
You know,
it's he's their franchise player, but you're 100% right. Is anyone going to lose sleep? Oh, I mean, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. Great defender, maybe a Hall of Famer one day, but he'd just be like Matt Holliday, you know? Like, it happens. All right, Gray. Well, listen, thank you again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. I wish you a very healthy and safe Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy it with you and your wife, and we'll catch up again next week, okay?
Thanks, Craig. Talk to you later.
All right, Gray Albright from Razzball with us here, and we'll take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports Today. Maybe we should tell Gray about all these great baseball cards that have gone up so significantly. Maybe he has them in his closet. Maybe we shouldn't tell him and just tell him to send them to us so we can make some money. We're going to go through those cards coming up next. An incredible time to be a sports collector. Who would have thought after the crash of the 80s that baseball, basketball, football cards are all back in such a big way? We'll go digging for diamonds next. Joe Pizzapia and I will be back on Fantasy Sports Today in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter at Craig Mish, at Sports Grid. You can follow my friend Gray Albright at Razzball. We'll be back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. And before we wrap up the show today, I want to give some really good investment advice. I'm not a licensed investment advice person, per se.
Well, I couldn't tell by that intro.
But this is good.
But sounds so professional.
This is going to help you make money. You're not going to have to do anything.
I'm not a doctor.
Do you like doing that? I feel like I'm an infomercial. Do you like making money? Yeah, do you like doing nothing?
I'm not a doctor of medicine that puts medicine for you to take in your body for medicine. But I will tell you this. I have this miracle drug. I mean, that was quite the underwhelming intro.
This segment is for you. So we talked earlier in the show about this. I've been fascinated with the comeback in sports cards. I've dove back into it a little bit too. Started digging up all my old cards to see what they're worth. Sent some cards in to get graded, some of my old stuff, because it's really just, it's gotten so hot again. People are buying cards again. They're sitting at home doing nothing, and they want things to open up. They want things to do. They want, and I've dove back in pretty good on it just to kind of see, and it's amazing to me to see the prices that have gone up so much. Mike Trout's rookie card sold yesterday, not yesterday, the day before, overnight for $900,000. His rookie card. It was only a couple hundred thousand. That's still a lot. Only a couple hundred thousand last year. Went up $700,000 in a year, and so. The industry is back in a big way. I don't know if this is permanent. I don't know if it is forever. And the one thing that you could find a lot on YouTube and a lot of great, very intelligent people who talk about cards every day is they're telling you which cards are going up, which cards are really making big moves. And I didn't, you know, if you know anything about me, I don't like copying what other people do. I like to do different things and new things and, you know, tweak you a little bit in a way that you haven't before. So rather than telling you that Michael Jordan's cards have gone up, his rookie card's gone from 10,000 to 50,000, or telling you that Shaquille O'Neal's rookie card has gone from $50 to 1,000. These are all things that in the industry, a lot of people are aware. Basketball cards have gone up a big way. Baseball cards have gone up a big way. A lot of it is due to us being home. The other part that has really changed significantly is the Jordan documentary has brought back a lot of nostalgia for people. And people are gravitating to the old days. And Joe, you mentioned something that I think is spot on, is that in a time where a lot of people are sort of panicking, you want comfort. Everyone has comfort in the old days and in remembering things that were old. When this is over for all of us and we're back out and we're going to sports events and there's fans there, there's a chance that this could crash again. I don't know if it'll crash like it did back in the late 80s and 90s. I'm not sure. But what I wanted to do here in this segment, Joe, is illustrate just how crazy it has become by showing you three cards in sports that have gone up an astronomical amount of money that are probably sitting in your garage right now that you thought were probably 20 cents or 30 cents, because honestly, I thought that they were too.
Well, one of them I know for a fact I have. In fact, one of them I remember that photo so well because it was a cover of a Beckett magazine. You remember Beckett Monthly? It was the price guide that came out, and I remember that being on the cover of it. So I'm excited to see here.
Let's get started here. Now, this first card that you're looking at here is most of you, if you're still paying attention to the show at this point because we're talking about sports cards, you understand that there are grading companies that are out there that will grade your cards and make your cards a lot more valuable if they're graded a 10. And in this case, we're gonna lean on PSA, Professional Sports Authenticator, who have the most material out there. There's other companies that are out there as well, like Beckett and like SGC. There are three companies really that are the primary ones right now that are grading cards, and I've used all of them before. But for this one, you're looking at a 1990 Hoops card with Sam Vincent on the Orlando Magic, Joe, and this is a Gem Mint 10 graded card. And the reason why this card is interesting is because, as you could see in the front right there, Joe, is Michael Jordan wearing number 12. And, of course, Michael Jordan only wore number 12 for one game. He had his jersey stolen from him on Valentine's Day, so he had to put on the number 12 jersey. Now, Joe, in all of my years, and I had these cards and I collected these cards, I never once thought about it or noticed it. And not just me, but this was considered a little bit of a sort of error card, but not to the point where it was something that was so wild, because if we go now and we go back, and I want you guys to take a look at this, people who sent their cards to PSA to get them graded as early as March of this year, March of 2020, Joe, this card as a PSA 10, because it's a cute card and Michael Jordan's in it, it sold for $36, okay? Bucks, whatever it is, congratulations, you made $15. Okay? Now I want you to take a look at this same card that sold this week, Joe. The card is now $100, rated PSA 10. This card went up $70 in a matter of a month. It's a nothing card.
It's because of the Michael Jordan fascination. There's a Michael Jordan gear renaissance. I mean, I turned on Good Morning Football the other day on the NFL Network, and Nate Burleson had an old school Bulls jacket on and stuff and rocking the hat. So, I mean, I haven't seen anybody rock Bulls gear. I mean, barely the Bulls wear it. Barely. So, I mean, that's just stuff you don't see. So we're going through a fascination where everyone's buying up those things, and this is what happens. You know, everyone goes fanatical over something, and then it just poof disappears. But the funny thing is, I remember this card. I think at one point I had it. I don't know if I still
Sam
do.
Vincent's rookie. Sam Vincent.
No, I remember having a bunch of that year of basketball card.
And right, that, but I, you don't ever remember seeing Michael Jordan wearing 12 and thinking that he was wearing 12. And
I remember Michael Jordan in the car, but I don't remember the 12. I could just, you know, I just, because it was Sam Vincent.
I don't remember any of it.
I probably looked and went, I kind of remember, you know, vaguely Jordan being in the photo. Like, I saw, as soon as I saw the card, I go, oh, yeah, that's the card. I remember that card. But the funny part is, in the common cards, I remember a couple of years ago, my parents having a garage sale, I got rid of a ton of commons of old boxes of nothing cards. So this segment might infuriate me if a couple other things pop up here.
Okay.
So we'll see.
So anyway, so far, I mean, so far, again, and the reason why I bring that card up is because you may have it. Look, I could do a whole segment with you guys and show you a Michael Jordan card as rookie and show you how much it's gone up, and you could, you go, oh, I don't have that card. This is something you may have, okay? It's something you may have in your closet. Now, ungraded, the card is only worth a couple bucks. But if you do choose to get it graded and you do get a 10 out of this, or maybe
so
even a 9.
The graded system is you send the card away, they grade it, send it back to you. That's basically that,
that's
it.
That's correct. And it they takes, and sometimes like it can take some time.
And it's a certificate. No.
It goes in a case and it gets encased, like you saw in the picture there.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. Just like this one right here. So this is Bo Jackson's 1990 score card. I mean, the second you look at this card, you got to think that you had it at some point in your collection if you collected cards, okay? This is card number 697. This is graded 10. This is what it looks like in the case. A Gem Mint 10 Bo Jackson 1990 score. This is him basically posing with the football gear and with the baseball bat. And Joe, without a doubt, at some point if you collected cards, you probably didn't give two bleeps about this card, but you probably had it at some point in your collection.
I have almost certainty that it's in this right behind me. I just pulled a Craig Mish. I literally just bent over.
Yeah, but you don't have
here.
The card. What if you just showed me a book?
I'm telling you, in this book, that card exists. I almost
How
guarantee.
How long do we give Joe Pizzapia here?
We're not going to give him that long because I'm not Craig Mish where everything is just right at my fingertips every time. It's like, oh, really? Would you like perhaps a warm beverage or maybe a coffee?
All right, listen, while you're looking for the card.
I'm going to go look for this one because I saw how much this one's worth. So you can
talk. While Joe's looking for the card, let's take a look at this, guys. This on March 31st of this year, this is less than 2 months ago. If you have this card and you got it graded by PSA as a 10, actually, it's worth more than I ever would have thought as $69. I mean, that is, I never thought that this card was worth a cent. But look, if you got lucky enough to have it and you kept it mint and you got it graded and you got a 10, $69 is a good amount of money for a card that is worthless. So I would have said even at this time, go in your closet, go see if you have it. You made yourself, well, 50, 60 bucks after you get it graded. But wait,
now there's more.
Take a look at this.
Mark McGwire rookie this card.
This is the same exact card, graded PSA 10, last night on eBay, sold for $250. The same card.
By the time I sent a good card like this to get graded, by the time it comes back to me, I will have lost money on this.
Why did this card go up?
Because it's got a hologram. We got a mark
$180 in a month.
Sammy Sosa rookie card with the hologram. There's a piece of his jock strap on the back of the card. There's only 7,000 left. You have to call now. You have to call now in order to get
it. I can't fathom this one.
This is my all-time dream come true. I never thought you would be a home shopping network for cards. Are we going to sell samurai swords next? Because that, I think, is...
Ginsu knives. All right, so here's the last one. So during The Last Dance, they showed a video of ESPN getting ready to have a new documentary. It's the chase for the 60 home runs with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. So take a look at this. This is a 1990 Upper Deck Sammy Sosa rookie card. A month ago, worthless. 50 cents, 25 cents, a dollar. Sosa's rookie cards are, you know, some of them. A leaf is worth something. He has a Donruss card that's worth a few bucks.
Wait, which is this? Sammy Sosa, which rookie card?
1990 what? Upper Deck. This is a Gem Mint 10. And now let's go to, this is from PSA's population report. A PSA 10, March 14th, $5. You got it graded. You spent 10 bucks, and it's worth less than what you graded for, $5. Okay. Now take a look at what this sold for last night on eBay, $100. From $5 to $100 only because ESPN announced that they're going to have a documentary just like Michael Jordan. It's the only reason why this went up. I can't think of any other reason. Sammy Sosa's card went from $5 to $100 in less than a month.
I can't think of a reason.
You probably have it somewhere.
I'm looking through the stacks.
You're not
I'm
doing
looking.
Well. This is a well, epic fail well, here's on the thing. Your part. You, I mean, Joe going got, through his book during the show.
I've got this Sammy Sosa rookie. Sammy Sosa rookie card. It's right. That's right here. Little Sammy Sosa rookie card.
Anyway,
while got Joe this Sammy Sosa card. Rookie card. Where's the upper deck? That's my question. Did you steal it from me? Is that how you got it on the air?
Listen, while Joe goes through his cards, he's got all weekend long here on Memorial Day. We'll do this segment again next week. I want to thank all of you for watching all week. Wish all of you guys a fun weekend. Always remember what Memorial Day means. It means we're honoring our servicemen for sure. Thanks again to Gray Albright for coming on the show. Of course, thanks to our great producer and our producing staff this weekend, Brett and Danny, for doing such a great job with our show and the graphics, and Ryan for editing the show as well. You can catch Joe this weekend on Diamond Bets. You can catch me on the weekend edition of Fantasy Sports Today. And, of course, we'll be right back here on Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. I hope you find some gold. If not, we'll find some for you next week. That'll be
all right.
Talk to you again this weekend for another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everybody. See you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
21 plus terms and conditions apply.